morning. You might have already seen it as a piece of art, but I brought a piece of art that I have in my house. It's actually an artist's rendering of Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in it day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit in season, leaf not withering. Whatever he does shall prosper. And this is just an artist's rendering of what maybe a shepherd or just a man back in biblical times sitting under a tree with his scroll. And you know he's not just doing his 5-minute devotion as he gets on with his day. He is camped out with the Lord and hearing from the Lord. And the person who did this piece of art, this is not an original piece of art, it's available all over the place. There's almost a caricature of what may be Jesus looking down or the Holy Spirit. The idea being just to fellowship with the Lord in his word and to delight in it. And this I put in our we have a 2-story home, our basement down below. I built into an office, and part of the basement we built out as a living area. And I walked down the hallway, and this is right above my photo, or right above my steps as I walk down. And it just reminds me that I'm coming down to fellowship with the Lord and not to be too much in a hurry. Amen. We need to be reminded of that. And then here we are in our worship this morning, and we're singing about God's wonderful creation and how he reveals himself in creation. And I wanted to start reading from a scripture before we got to Psalm 119, and I already had a bookmark placed in Psalm 19. So let's turn to Psalm 19, and we'll see how the Lord's heart wants to speak to us today. My notes are, if I have notes organized, I'm sure I won't follow them. Because I hope what we see this morning is the Lord's heart speaking to our hearts. Amen? Not here to teach doctrine, not here to expound through Scripture systematically. You have a pastor who has the privilege of doing that. Now, my joy in being here is to just bring a word that I believe we all need to know, especially in these last days, and that is to not be so busy that we forget to delight and meditate on God's word, because that is the foundation of our walk with him. Not what we do, not even our activities or any of those things are all excellent, but what is to be the foundation of our life with the Lord is a daily meditation and delight in his word. Amen. And so, you remember I read from the New King James Version. It may be a little bit different, a few words, but it carries the same thoughts forward. So let's look at Psalm 19 as a devotion to begin, and then we'll dig into the scriptures, starting with Psalm 119, and see where the Lord takes us. Father, we want to thank you again for the privilege, the awesome privilege it is, to hold in our hands the whole counsel of God. These 66 books bound in leather and written over thousands of years, Lord, by the pen of men, Lord, we recognize it as the work of your Holy Spirit. Yet you have authored this book, and by the Spirit who dwells within us, Lord, I pray you'd give us illumination and understanding that we may know you, that we may draw close to you, and rejoice in the relationship that you have given to us by grace. And so as we look at your word, Lord, it's not a book of academic, although it does certainly engage our mind. It's not something we do as a discipline because we're a member of the family, so to speak. We are. But Lord, this truly is to be our lifeblood, what it is that draws us closer to you as you walk with us deeper and deeper every day. As we grow in grace and in knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's with our hearts turned towards you, our knees on the ground, our eyes in the book. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you, Lord, for minds that can comprehend. And thank you, Lord, for gifting to us in this room the privilege of being able to have a written language and your word for us. Much of the world is oral, not unintelligent, but just oral. Lord, we thank you for the way you've allowed our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our hearts to respond. And now, Lord, please speak to us. Just as we work our way through the scriptures that you've ordained. Thank you, Jesus. And we bless you for the time. In your name, amen. Amen. Psalm 19 is written by David. I don't remember exactly where in his life he wrote this psalm, and it really is kind of broken into two pieces as I look at it. The beginning is talking about how God is seen in his creation and how glorious his creation is. We sang about that this morning. And then we also sang about how God is seen and known in his word. And that's the second half of Psalm 19. So I'm just going to read it devotionally as a devotion, then we'll get started with our study. That sound all right? So let your eyes look with me and don't let my different version trip you up here. To the chief musician, this is a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice, day and night, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line, their measuring line, has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. All of creation reveals the glory of God. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Beautiful picture. And rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. I'm not a scientist, but there's a lot of true science in here, isn't there? Before people realized the earth was not flat, God knew it was not flat. Well, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. The word of God is described by many different facets. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. This is a prayer. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent of great transgression. And then this we could all meditate on, chew in, memorize, and live out. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Beautiful, isn't it? Yes. And it all fits with the worship we've had this morning and with what I believe the Lord wants me to continue from a couple of weeks ago, just to, again, delight and rejoice in the law of the Lord. So with that, please turn with me to Psalm 119. And as you're turning, it's not an advertisement, but it's a rephrasing of what you've already heard this morning in announcements. I did bring some materials for you. Love you to pick them up and pray. I am involved in ministry to China. There is a little brochure in there that talks a little bit about the ministry that I'm involved in that we started in 2007 and I continue to do today. That'll just give you something to pray about for me, if you would. But I also did bring real money from China. You know, usually when a missionary comes, they ask for money. I come and give it. I don't need your money. I need your prayers. And this money, which is not significant in terms of value, but it is in terms of remembrance. Take one of these Chinese dollar bills, which is worth about 17 cents. These are smaller denominations, and actually they're no longer in circulation in paper, but in coin. Take these and stick them in your Bible. Tape them to your refrigerator. Remember to pray for 20% of the world's population as you look at this. I love to give money from foreign countries when I come back home, because it gives people an understanding that God is so much bigger than the God of our dollar bill, which says in God we trust, but we don't always, do we? Well, this doesn't say in God we trust, but it'll remind you to pray for people that perhaps we wouldn't normally think of. And so, if you would please, take a bunch. Take as much as you like And if you have grandkids or you have a Sunday school class or you're a teacher and you are able, take a whole bunch of it and pass it out. The more people who can think about and pray for China, the better the Lord's work will be accomplished, because nothing's accomplished without prayer. Amen? And so I'm going to leave this this week and next week. And when I come next week, Lord willing, my wife will actually be able to join me. So you'll be able to see the gift of God that I have received over the last 50 years. Amazing. 50 great years for me. If you ask Jane next week, she'll say 10. But praise the Lord. God is good. Psalm 119. I wanted to encourage you and do want to continue to encourage you to read through it as a devotion and to chew upon, meditate on it. And it's a good structure to kind of get our lives back in focus with reading with intention, not just reading the Bible because we're supposed to, but reading some portion with intention and chewing on it. And it breaks out very nicely that way. And because the focus is all about the Word of God, it doesn't have us chasing in our minds all about different doctrines or different things that we might also enjoy focusing on, but just the Word itself. And so I've been doing that, but I'm not going to expound through. I'm going to chew on it a little bit the way the Lord has done for me. And if we were sitting in a small group, we'd be able to encourage one another as iron sharpens iron. This is the kind of thing you want to be able to do. Amen? And once again, in Psalm 119, it is a prayer from the writer, whoever the writer is, might have been David, he's not identified. It's somebody who obviously knows the Lord. And after the first couple of verses, almost every single verse in this 176 verses speaks about God's word, but more emphatically, your word. This is a prayer to God. And if you remember the illustration I used a couple of weeks ago, so appropriate to me, is that we have the Word of God kind of like a kaleidoscope. You remember a kaleidoscope? Got a few pieces of glass in there, you turn it a little bit, and all of a sudden, you see something different. And then the next day, you turn it a little bit more. Well, that's exactly how the Word of God is to be for us. Because it is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Even if I'm reading the same scripture in this season of life, it means something different than it not means in terms of interpretation, but it applies to my life differently than it did the last time I read it. Let that sink in a moment, because our math tables haven't changed. When I was in school, 2 + 2 = 4, right? And I don't know anything about how they teach math today, but if you ask the students today how much 2 + 2 is, it's still going to be 4, right? But the Word of God is rich and deep. The doctrine doesn't change, but the application to my heart does. And that's what this psalm, I hope, is going to revitalize or vitalize in each of our lives as we begin to have a greater and deeper appreciation for God's word working in and through our lives. And so the writer begins in verse 1, much like Psalm 1, blessed are the undefiled, or the innocent in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Their lifestyle is to be in step with God's word. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, not just see or hear, but apply, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And then from this verse on, all the way to the end, you notice it turns into a prayer to God concerning his word, right? But sometimes as we read it, we go, he's repeating himself over and over again. In some cases, it appears that he is. But the reality is like that kaleidoscope, there's the same pieces of glass, but we look at it a little bit differently by the context around it and where our hearts are at. I want to give you some keys in reading the scriptures, or in reading like Psalm 119. 170 some number of this verses of this speak about your word, God's word. But different words are used to describe your word. And I'm going to tell you this. This is because I checked this out, and you can check it out yourself. As you read through here, you'll find out that the writer is talking to the Lord about your law. Law. Now, that word in the Old Testament is that word Torah. It's used 25 times in this psalm. And It means to, it means teaching or direction. Sometimes the Torah speaks specifically about the law of Moses or the writings of Moses. Sometimes the context goes and speaks in a general term towards the whole scripture. Context reveals that. But it's the idea of Torah is it is something that comes from God to us. That's what Torah is teaching or direction coming from God to you and I. Don't you love God's law? Well, you'll also see in the scriptures here in Psalm 119 that he describes the Bible as his word. Word, W-R-D, not law, L-A-W, but W-R-D, word. And there's two words for word in this. One of them speaks of the spoken word, of God's spoken word to man, proceeding from his mouth to our ears, or more accurately, to our heart, the word. The Bible also calls God's communication with man his judgments. Judgments. Now, when we think of a judgment, what do we think of? What do we think of when we think of a judgment? Punishment? Can be. But it's really more accurately rendered something that's regulation. His judgments are the regulations of his word. It's, again, I'm just twisting the lens and seeing as God describes the Bible, his living word, he uses different words that have a little bit different nuance. Judgments means determination or regulation or order, because his word judges concerning our life and our thoughts and our words. It shows us what is wrong, tells us how to correct and walk right. You remember? The all scripture is given by inspiration of God, Paul said to Timothy, and it is profitable, it was useful to us for doctrine, to teach us about God and about the foundations of our faith, for correction, for rebuke, for instruction in righteousness. Those would be the judgments. He also uses the word, that's used 23 times in Psalm 119. He also uses the word testimonies. Testimonies. Again, all these are used about 25 times, more or less. All of these words are used about that many times in this particular psalm. And testimonies really is witness, covenant. Aren't you glad that God has given to us his covenant, his testimonies? Very important for us. I'm glad I have his testimony. It speaks of his loyalty and faithfulness to me, not because of mine to him, but because he is faithful. Amen? It's good to know his testimonies. There's another word that's used in Psalm 119, commandments. Commandments. You can find this out. You just take your Strong's Concordance. It's not hard to do. Each of the, I don't speak any Hebrew. I don't speak any Greek. I speak just a little bit of English. And not very well, but I can look in the Strong's Concordance, either electronically or physically, and there's a number applied to each word that is used in the Bible, in the King James Bible. And you just see how many times this word is used, and there's a definition for it. It's very easy to do this. And as you look and you see, besides testimonies, he gives commandments. Commandments. Commandments are emphasize the straight authority. They're like a general speaks to his lieutenant. He gives him a commandment, and there's this is where go here and do that. Very specific, very specific. And don't you love God's commandments? Because God never makes a wrong commandment, does he? We may hear improperly, we may choose not to obey rightly. Intentionally or unintentionally, we miss the mark, but God's commandments are pure. We read that in Psalm 19. They are perfect. Another word that's used is statutes. Statutes. Again, used over 20 times. The idea of statute is the word that is used for engraving. Engraving or inscribing. The idea is that the written word of God has authority inscribed, and the Ten Commandments were unshakable, weren't they? There's no improving upon what God has written. Amen? And that's his statutes, declaring his authority to give his law to us. Another word that's used is precepts. Why am I going through this? Because as you read Psalm 119, you're going to find all these words, and they're a little bit different in the way that they mean, and so we need to look at them that way as we read through, or just meditate on them. Precepts. That speaks more of like oversight, the kind of covering over the precepts, the general regulations, if I can say, in contrast with the statutes. I love his precepts, don't you? And the Bible tells us precept upon precept, thought upon thought, line upon line. That's what builds our faith. And then the word is used again in English, but it's a different word. It means whatever God has spoken. Just in case we don't get it figured out, whatever God has spoken. Now, why have I gone through this? Because this is introduction. That's not my message. Why have I gone through this? The Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword. And as we read through and we ask the Lord not just to give us something to walk through every day, but something to chew upon and to grow in, we need to understand the width and the breadth and the height of God's love and God's word. Amen? We want to, in a sense, go deeper. Now, it doesn't mean we go deep like we're going where nobody else can go. But we want to spend time, like this guy in the picture right in front of me. Take a look at it. He's not a scholar. He's just somebody who loves God's word and takes the time to draw close to him. And guess what? If you draw close to him, he will draw close to you. James tells us that. And so, there we are. Now, as I read through Psalm 119, I did read a section each day. But the Lord's got me chewing on something. Now, I'll read a little bit with you until we get to that place, and then you can dive in with me where the Lord has brought me. And maybe it'll be not only encouraging to you, but an example of how God might want to take us deeper rather than just keep on plodding through without thinking or without allowing him to stop and tell us to think. So verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Remember, these words are a little bit different, but you've given me general commands. You've given me guidelines. You have commanded to keep these diligently. Notice how much action there is. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Oh, that my desire would be for you, Lord. Anybody want to pray that prayer? Lord, my desire that it would be for you. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. As we walk with him, we can praise him with a pure heart because God is leading us, in a sense, out of this carnal worldly thinking that we are in and into his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy and life everlasting. Praise God. Praise God. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. My desire, my bend, my emphasis is to draw close to you, to come to you. Remember when we repented of our sin? Remember when you repented of your sin? You didn't just agree with God that you were a sinner. That's the beginning. I'm rotten to the core. But we have to turn and move towards him. There's an action towards him. Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, or earlier in the chapter, writing to a very, very young church about their testimony. Your testimony is known by everybody. How you have turned to God from idols. There's been a change in your life. To serve the true and living God. And to wait for and look for his soon appearing. That's the heart I want to have. Amen? When is he coming? I don't know. That's his business. I just want to be found faithful. How do I do that? Turn from idols towards God. How often do I have to do that? Not just the day I got saved. Every day I have to kill that old man, don't you? And how do we do that? By drawing close to him in his word. So this is his prayer. This is his commitment. Verse 9. I love verse 9. It's. I don't know if he's a young man who's asking this, or if he's just writing with this in mind, but how can a young man cleanse his way? And then an older man will say, here's the answer. Take heed according to his word. How can we cleanse our walk by the word of God, by taking heed according to God's word. And then the writer says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Let me keep my focus. Then he expresses, this is his action. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Are we talking about sinlessness, sinless perfection? No. But we're talking about my bend always towards the Lord will keep me from sin as I draw close to him. Amen? This is critical. This is the mindset that he has here. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Not only think, not only hear, but speak what God has done in my life. That builds my faith. Doesn't it yours? I will speak. I will declare all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. In verse 15 and 16, and this will be for me a opportunity to take the next, I don't remember how much time I have. Quarter after? More or less? Less. 15 and 16 is where the Lord stopped me and has had me chewing as I work my way through. I will, here's the name, the word again, meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Excuse me a moment. Still working on my voice. Mostly back. Okay. If you read through here and your Lord stops you somewhere along the way and you say, I want to take a look at that word law, Torah. I want to take a look at that and just chew on that for a moment. You read Psalm 119, you make a list of everywhere it talks about the law, and you get a real nice picture of how the law, the oral and spoken word of God, is to impact my life. Verse 1, blessed walk in the law. Verse 18, open my eyes to see wondrous works from your law. Verse 29, remove me from the way of lying and grant to me your law. Verse 34, give me understanding. I shall keep and observe your law with my whole heart. Verse 51, I do not turn aside from your law. Verse 53, because the wicked forsake your law, indignation takes hold of me. It breaks my heart for them. Verse 55, I remember your name in the night, and I keep your law. How many of us have woken up in the night? And it hasn't been physical, it's been spiritual too, hasn't it? And what happens in those night watches? The Lord gives you something to consider in his word. Beautiful when he does that, isn't it? It's beautiful. Verse 61, the cords of the wicked bind me, but I have not forgotten your law. Your law will not be taken away by evil. Verse 70, I delight in your law. The proud heart. But the proud in heart, well, they don't. Verse 72, the law of your mouth is better than gold and silver. That's good to remember, isn't it? Verse 77, let tender mercies come to me. Your law is my delight. Verse 85, the proud dig pits for me, but not according to your law. Affliction is not brought on by others. It is brought on by the Lord for my benefit. I would have perished in affliction, but your law is my delight. I love your law, verse 97. It's my meditation all the night. Can you see how you can just kind of work your way on through? I just wrote those things down in observation. As I look at those and consider them, my heart is built as I see and consider the different facets of how God's law is to impact my life. Does that make sense? And you can do that with law, statutes, precepts, testimonies. You can just take any one of those, do the same kind of thing. Or, as the Lord has had me doing more than that, because we do understand the Scriptures or the doctrine of the Scriptures, he's had me considering once again, meditating and delighting. And so if you would, walk with me through Psalm 119 with the idea of meditation. Now, in my New King James Bible, the word meditation is used. Yours might say, might not have the word meditate. It might have the word speak or something like that. But it's the same word. And actually, there's several words that are used for meditation. But the idea is all the same. To meditate, to converse with, to ponder, to pray over, to study, to imagine. Not imagine like whatever, but to imagine the majesty of God. Amen? Again, look at this. Come on up later and take a look at this picture. This guy is meditating. I don't know if he's smart. I don't know if he has degrees, whether he's intelligent, whether he's rich or whether he's poor. Looks to me he's kind of middle-aged. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of tent he is in or what he's doing in this planet. He is meditating and rejoicing in his relationship with God through his word. Well, verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts. I like that. It's a commitment. It's a prayer, but it is also a commitment. I will commune with you. I will ponder. I will consider your precepts, your guidelines. Verse 23, look, princes might sit and speak against me, but your servant, what does he do? He meditates on your statutes. I think if we do that, just stopping there for a moment, other people might sit and speak evil against me or wrong about me. Anybody misunderstood by family or friends? We all are in some way, right? Now, let's set aside their relationship with the Lord or their relationship with me. What does the writer say? He says, even though, in verse 23, princes will sit and speak against me, it's not going to stop me from meditating upon your word. That's a good thing to remember. And what do I do with the slanderers? I don't pray like David sometimes did, Lord, break their teeth. I pray for them that they would come to their senses because the word is available to them too. Amen? Verse 27. My Bible says, make me understand the way of your precepts, so I shall meditate. There's that word again. I believe the King James uses the word talk. I will meditate, same word, on your wondrous works. Now, in Psalm 19, we read this morning, did we not? About all of creation. Why does it blow me away? Not just because it's big and I don't understand it, but because I know a bigger God made it. Amen? Because I've got Genesis chapter 1. Don't ask me to explain everything in Genesis chapter 1. I just believe what Genesis chapter 1 tells me, and God is the creator. Wow. And every time we look at the sun pass through the sky, every time we look at all of the elements of nature, we should go, wow. Not what a creation, but what a creator. I will meditate on your wondrous works. Verse 48 is the next place in Psalm 119. He says, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments. I will praise you. I will worship you because I love your commandments and I will meditate on your statutes. Gang, I got to say something here. If we don't have a heart of praise, if we don't have a heart of praise and worship, it is because we are not understanding the word and the nature of God. We are created to worship him. Now, in the fellowship here, that is more less demonstrative than other places in the body of Christ. Does that make it any less real? No. Would it be more real if we all stood, clapped our hands, and there was electric music? No. And God knows exactly how he wants every fellowship to worship him. And praise God, we don't all have to do the same thing the same way. But the command of the heart, I will praise you. I will praise you. That's verse 47 and 48. My hands, I will lift your commandments, which I love. I will meditate in your statutes. Verse 78, I'm just working my way through, looking at this particular word and what it means, what it's saying to me. In verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. Does that ever happen to you? Leave that in God's hands, because the next word is but. I know it's in italics, but it's in spite of that, here's what we do. I will meditate on your precepts. I will run to the rock of your word. Hallelujah. How many times do we have to run to the word? Because in some ways we're running from the persecution, the misunderstanding, the hatred, the vitriol of those who don't love God. We run to God. And if God is for me, what? who can be against me? And if I draw close to God and he draws close to me, that's when I can resist the enemy and he will flee, because God is between him and me. Praise the Lord. Psalm 119:97, look at this. In each of these chapters, each of these paragraphs, if I can call them that, rather than chapters, each of these paragraphs, again, is twisting the lens, and you have to read it in its context. But he says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation, just twice every day. Well, just once, all the day. So, verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. That doesn't mean that you're smarter than your pastor concerning Scripture. That's not what it's talking about. But he said, God goes beyond the one who teaches you, because he teaches you further, because the Holy Spirit resides inside. Amen? And as a result, how can I have more understanding than all my teachers? Your testimonies are my meditation. Your law is my meditation. Your testimonies are my meditation. So my devotion is based upon your word. And then one more place this is used, in Psalm 119, verse 148. You'll get to it in your reading this week. In Psalm 148, I love it because he says it several times. Well, as a contrast, look at Psalm 147 also. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. Psalm 148, my eyes are awake through the night watches, that I might meditate upon your word. Day and night, your word is ever before me. Praise the Lord. We talked about this when I was here last time. We used Psalm 1, verse 2 as a launching pad or as a place to start, and Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and there are other places where this word is used, or synonyms to this word, meditate, are used, talking about chewing the cud, talking about meditating or considering or thinking about God's work, about God's word, about singing in praise to him, and about how wisdom is bound up in the word of God as we meditate upon it. Amen? Is this, I hope what's coming through is a desire and an understanding that I need to just be not in the word. We use that phrase and it doesn't always mean something correct, because we read it as an obligation, or we read it and we stay in the shallow end, if you will. I'm not saying I'm going no place no one has gone before, but I'm going where I've not been willing before. Jesus, several times, you can check it out in Luke and John, several times Jesus spoke to Peter the fisherman. How are you doing in your own strength? Well, we've labored all night and caught nothing. I want to go out deeper with you. Lord, there's nothing out there. We've worked all night. But nevertheless, at your command, right? Throw the nets on the other side. Let down the net. And when Jesus is speaking to us in those deep ways, there's something that happens within. Amen? I don't want to be in the shallows. I want to be in the deep with my Lord. And this is all about meditating and delighting. Does that make sense? So I'm not expounding this in a way that you go, wow, that was so awesome. It's all about the Lord wants to speak to us, and if we just take time and allow him to do so, as we allow our eyes to move and our mind to be engaged, he'll take your heart into places that will just be so rich and so beautiful. I don't have time, because I was told 11:15 is when we're supposed to stop, to talk about delight. But I'll take a moment to give a synopsis anyway, because you can't fire me. I don't work here. And I want to give you a homework assignment that's based upon this, meditating and delighting, okay? You all with me? Okay. To delight in the Scriptures here, we talked about it last time I was here, is to take pleasure, to desire, to consider valuable, to have joy. And the writer in Psalm 119 says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will delight myself in your commandments. I delight in your law. Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. I delight in the path of your commandments. Your law is my delight. Unless your law had been my delight, I would have perished. Your commandments are my delights. Your law is my delight. You think he's trying to make a point? And you read this as you read through Psalm 119, and it keeps coming back. And as it came back, I went, I need to think about how much I'm delighting in the law of the Lord, because he's telling me I should, and that my joy is found in doing that. Maybe I should sit by the riverbank with my Bible and a bottle of water and not worry about how much time is spent. Can't do it every day, but I can do it once in a while. Amen? In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7, the Lord says that men, Israel, is his delight. Aren't you glad that you are God's delight? Now, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. If we go into the New Testament and we take meditate and delight, and the definitions that we understand, and them being rooted and grounded in the Word, turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. John chapter 8. This is Jesus speaking, and we know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. We understand that this Bible that we hold is Jesus in print, right? But Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 30, to those who believed in him, to the Jews who believed him, in verse 31, he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Anyone here want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Not simply a believer in Jesus Christ, but a disciple, a follower, one who is actively pursuing a relationship with the Lord. I want that. We all in our heart of hearts want that. Well, here's what he says. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? Well, turn with me to John 15, and then I'll give you your homework assignment. And you've been through this study before. I'm sure it's very familiar to you. Jesus is speaking in John 15 to his disciples, and he is telling them about the relationship that he has with them. I am the vine and you are the branches. And my Father is the vine dresser. He's in charge. And as we read through John chapter 15, by the way, we don't abide in darkness, we abide in light, right? Okay. And the Holy Spirit abides with us forever. So we recognize that we're not in this through our mind, we're in this through the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. But in John chapter 15, he says, abide in me, verse 4, and I in you. This word abide means continue or dwell or remain. The idea, if I can take it back to Psalm 19, 119 and 19 and Psalm 1, is you meditate, you remain, you stay attached, and you will be like that tree planted by the rivers of water, right? But here's how Jesus says it in John chapter 15 as we focus. See how many times he uses this word. Abide in me and I in you, unless the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. This is almost like a parenthesis. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me, or as you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. You'll be in harmony with the Father, your prayers will be according to his guiding. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be my disciples. He used that word again, disciples. Abide in my word, disciples. Bear fruit. What's that fruit look like? As the Father loved me, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Down to verse 16, just for a moment. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, your fruit should abide, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Relationship of abiding in Christ. Amen? Here's your homework assignment. You can write it down if you like. 1 John, specifically chapters 2, 3, and 4, but read 1 John in addition. If you read 1 John chapters 2, 3, and 4, you will find the word abide 24 times. It must be important. It must be important. And the abiding he's talking about is how it is lived out amongst believers. And that's what we'll talk about next week. Not just that we become reservoirs of the Word of God, that we hold close to the Word of God to get the world further away. That's good. That's sanctification. Amen? But it needs to be lived out also, working out our salvation with fear and trembling as God who works in us to will and to do for His good pleasure. And so next week, Lord willing, unless He does something different, my intent and the emphasis of Psalm 119 and what we've been talking about is how to allow this deepening relationship you and I have with the Lord by delighting in His law and meditating upon it day and night to not just be something we enjoy together with the brothers and sisters on Sunday, but how that is to be lived out in each of our lives as our light so shines before men. As we are the salt of the earth. Amen? Sound like a good thing? So, continue if you would in your reading in Psalm 119. Let the Word speak to you richly. And do read 1 John verses chapters 2, 3, and 4 specifically. And see how much he tells us we should abide, remain, meditate, delight in the relationship we have with the Lord. Thank you for letting me go 10 minutes over. Let's stand. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege once again of looking and considering your word. And if I've said anything that is confusing or improper, Lord, let it fall away. But may the truth and the power and the reality of your word, Lord, may it please, not just tickle our ears or enlighten our eyes, but Lord, may it go further than that into our heart of hearts. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. What an honor to be able to come together and to worship you and to look into your word. And now, Lord, may your word search our hearts, try us, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you.